in today's show. We're looking at all of the action from Tuesday in the NBA. An update on Damian Lillard's season. It's done. We knew that, but it's done. An update on Tyrese Halliburton's season, maybe? Maybe that's done as well. Anyway, I'll talk to you about it in a second. Michael Bolton.
Thanks, Josh. It's Michael Bolton here, and it's time for another episode of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com. And you can find me on Twitter, as always, at @RedRock_Beeble, on TikTok at @RedRock_Beeble, and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an NBA GM and managing your basketball franchise? And this game is definitely for you. To download the game, visit ultimatebasketballgm.com or look it up on the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On, all caps, in the game. Thank you also for making Locked On Fantasy Basketball your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Let's just get straight into the news because there is a bit of stuff for us to talk about here. Warnie.
Let's get it on, Gilly.
All right, so some updated news for tomorrow. Tyrese Halliburton has already been ruled out. I do not know whether Tyrese Halliburton is out for the rest of the season, but being out for Monday in a non-back-to-back situation, being ruled out a day in advance for Wednesday in a non-back-to-back situation makes me think that there is a pretty low chance of a return. Again, tying that in with what I have heard and who I have spoken to, I don't know this for sure. The confusing factor here is that they did list Miles Turner as questionable, and I thought he'd probably suffer the same sort of fate as Halliburton, having missed the last two games. Now, that being listed questionable doesn't preclude you from missing games. Shout out to Kelly Oubre or any of the Hornets injury reporting all season. But it does make it a little bit different. The Halliburton one, it is strange. Honestly, he could come back. I don't know. I don't know how to pass it. I don't know what to do with it. We know he's out and there's only two more games this week for Halliburton. We grab TJ McConnell, absolutely. We have Jackson and Smith. We look at Nembhard. We look at Mathurin. But if these blokes play Turner Wednesday or Halliburton Friday, then it's a waste. It is a huge risk. And it's frustrating that we don't get clear information about these situations. I would think that Halliburton is still, that he's done, much like I think Bradley Beal is done, and like I think Kyle Kuzma is done, and like I know that the Blazers players are done. But I don't know that for Halliburton. I think, but I don't know. And we'll get to more of those situations later today. The Spurs, while we knew that there was no chance that these guys were playing all three games this week, we knew they had a stinking schedule with three games on high volume days, and now we've already got Keldon, Devin Vassell, and Jeremy Sochan ruled out for Wednesday. Collins is playing, Trey Jones is playing, Devontae Graham is playing, but that doesn't mean they're going to play Friday or Sunday. We expect most of the key Spurs to play only two games this week, maybe only one game this week, and in Sochan's case, maybe zero games this week. I do not know. Sochan will have played one out of the last six games. There is some value in a Branham, Wesley, Mamukelashvili, and Bates Diop because we expect them to play, but you wouldn't use them on Wednesday, maybe on Wednesday, but probably not on Friday or Sunday, making them ads or those guys as ads not really be all that relevant. Damian Lillard is done, according to Chris Haynes. Chris could have checked with me last week and I could have told you that. Chris has nothing to say about Anthony Simons or Jeremy Grant or Yusuf Nurkic, but once again, I am telling you that these guys' season is over unless there's some dramatic change of fortune or thought process there. They are done as well. Trenton Watford is listed doubtful for tomorrow, as is Cam Reddish. So fire up your Keon Johnsons, fire up your Nassir Littles, maybe bloody fire up your Kevin Knoxes. I wouldn't feel super strong about that, but I would feel really strong about Shaedon Sharpe. I feel extraordinarily strong about Drew Eubanks. They're must roster players, and on 13 game days, they're startable players. Whereas Keon and Nasir and Johnny Butler, whoever the bloody hell else they're going to play, aren't necessarily starts on those days. But those guys are all done. We knew this last week, and that's where we are. For the Jazz, we're still in the situation where we're just ruling out game by game with Colin Sexton and the man on the street, Jordan Clarkson.
JORDANCLARKSON.
I don't think that they're going to play the rest of the season, but I don't know. Whereas Lauri Markkanen is questionable, and he played last game. I thought he would be ruled questionable here against the Spurs. I think Markkanen might be a little bit of an on-off situation. I think his chances of playing games here is higher than a Halliburton and a Beal and a Kuzma and a Rozier, for example. But I don't know. We're getting no updates on these guys like Sexton, like Clarkson, which is unfortunate in terms of trying to be able to plan out. But we just keep rolling with Dunn. We keep rolling with Horton Tucker. We maybe roll with Agbaji, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a frustrating situation, again, to not really know who's in, who's out, and have to guess every game and not get that clear information. Let's go to the waiver wire and look at the most added players over the last 24 hours. Number one on that list is the Duck, Luke Kennard in Memphis. He is just on a huge hot streak at the moment. It's helpful that players have been out and Ja Morant was out again today, but he's just banging in threes. He had another four today, played 28 minutes. He's just a solid player who was buried at times in Detroit and with the Clippers, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of something get unlocked here. Now, he's shooting unbelievably, but if you added him, it worked out pretty well. Then you got another game tomorrow. I still don't fully trust the role, but bloody hell, he's looked good. Maxi Strus up 17% with Jimmy Butler out. We thought it could have worked. It did not, but I get it, and you got him for tomorrow. Tyus Jones up 17%. Well, if you added him today, it's great because Jar's out, obviously. Not that his game was all that great, but you add him today, you hold him through tomorrow. Xavier T. Illman, the back-to-back does help him, and he played 35 minutes after playing 19 minutes three games ago. And he was awesome. No guarantee it's going to continue, but roll it. Drew Eubanks up 11%. Yeah. Malcolm Brogdon up 9%. I'm shocked that Malcolm Brogdon was available in that many leagues to be added in 9% or to go up 9%. But yeah, we roll with him. The Celtics we'll talk about more later. Joshie Richardson and the Pelicans. People may have waited a little bit too late here to maximize the volume, but there's still three more quality games, so you're no problem. And then Cole Anthony was streamed in for today by a lot of people. I reckon he can probably be streamed out. They don't play again until Friday, which is obviously a 13-game day, and then they play again Sunday. So you've got 2 days of no action and then two big volume days. So those fringy magic guys, your Suggses, Harris's, Anthony's, maybe it's even is like a Paolo, maybe you could consider moving on in that situation. The most dropped players over the last 24 hours. Trended Watford down 18%. I did want to hold, but now that he's ruled out or he's doubtful tomorrow, no problem, move on. Add him back later. Mark Williams dropped. He was a DNP today.
Oh, hi, Mark.
He'll move back and start in their next game, but yeah, streaming back in maybe on Friday. 13 games on. Is it worth it? It might be. It probably isn't, though. But he is going to play the next two games this week. Gordon Hayward down 12%. He was out today. I don't know if he's returning. I'd suggest he probably isn't. So no problem dropping him. Biyombo down 5%. Yeah, look, he was actually really good last game, even with Ayton back, but we don't need to hold on to a backup center. Agbaji down 5. I get it. He's not that good. And with Markkanen sort of up in the air, I probably would only feel comfortable if we knew Markkanen was out with Agbaji. Chris Dunn down 4. I would have held there. Horton Tucker down 4. I probably would have held as well. And then Kuminga down 4. Understandable. And then they go in and start him today. I don't think that he's a must-roster player, but bit of an interesting change in their rotational decisions. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Basketball GM. I know you guys love building teams and trading and signing players and all that stuff, and now you can do it mobile on your phone. That's what Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is. It's a game where you build up a basketball franchise. You do everything, hiring coaches, assistants, setting up training, trading players, signing free agents, making your draft picks, dealing with the challenging personalities. I'm not sure if there's any inbuilt suspensions for social media posts. Looking at you, maybe Memphis and Brooklyn. But who knows? There's lots of different things in there, and you've got to navigate your franchise through all of the ups and downs of a basketball season. Locked On Fantasy Basketball listeners also get 100% free boost to your franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure you check it out. You can use it offline, whenever you want, on the go. It's there whenever you want to play, and it's free to play. Download the game, go to probasketballgm.com. Scan the code that's on your screen or look it up in the app stores. That's probasketballgm.com. Ultimate Basketball GM, start your dynasty today. Let's look at these games. There are 6 of them. So let's go across to the first one. Weird game. Very, very weird game here between the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards. I say it's weird because the Celtics were going like for a start, Marcus Smart and Jason Tatum were taken out of the game 4 minutes in. You go, okay, so are they punting this game? Like, what are they doing? Is it just like, hey, you're out there playing, but we're actually going to take it easy? And then that didn't happen. They played only an 8-man rotation against a Wizards team without Gafford, without Beal, and without Kuzma. They played an 8-man rotation. This is a team that was the number one team in the NBA for so long. They played 8 guys only, fully healthy, 8 men, right? And they were down 20 in the fourth quarter. And then with 9 minutes to go, everyone got benched. And we just had garbage time for the remainder of the game. So I don't know why Tatum and Smart were pulled out after 4 minutes. I don't know why he went with a playoff rotation against a toothless Wizards team. I don't know why they lost by 20, and I don't know why he pulled the plug 9 minutes to go in the game. Nothing makes sense. Sneaky Joe Mazzulla has been, like, not really all that sneaky. He's just been shithouse for a period of time here after a very hot start to his career. Some really confusing things that he's done rotation-wise, and this was another one. Well, anyway, they end up losing. The Wizards, well done to them, getting a victory. On the Boston side of things, I don't really know what to read into this. Like, Derek White played 24 minutes.
Maximum Derek.
7-3 with 2 blocks. Like, that's shocking. He was still top 25 over the last week, and he probably would have played more minutes had they not decided to run with a lineup that had Luke Kornet, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, and Mike Muscala for the final 9 minutes. Al Horford had 5-4 with 2 blocks on 20% shooting. Stinking. And he's got likely one more game this week, because they've got a Thursday, Friday back-to-back. Rob Williams played 15 minutes. It was scoreless. He did block 2 shots and had a steal, but he's likely got one more game this week. And I don't know if it's on Thursday with 2 games or on Friday with 13 games. So a hold of Rob Williams or Al Horford might not be worth it. Once we hear who's out, like if Rob Williams is out Thursday, easy drop, because you find other players on Friday. Yeah, whichever one of those guys plays Thursday, you probably hold through it. But otherwise, I don't think it's going to be worth it. Tatum had 28-9. Okay, not bad. Smart, 14 points, 5 assists, 2 steals. Jaylen Brown played only 27 minutes.
JB, you've done it again.
18 points, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 0 troubling post-game comments, which for him is actually like a season best for Jaylen. So I just don't really know what was going on in this game. Brogdon only played 23 minutes. I get, like, he's 132nd over the last week. He hasn't been killing it. Still thought he would have been rostered in more leagues, and we still hold him, but man, I don't know. Just weird stuff. Well, for the Wizards, no Beal, no Kuzma, no Gafford, no problems, I guess. They started DeLon Wright next to Monte Morris. DeLon played 31 minutes, 8-5 with 2 steals. You know what you're getting DeLon for? Low usage, but you're getting steals. That's what you want, and you got them. Well, Monte Morris, 19 points, 9 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. We love that. He's rosterable while these guys are out. I don't think Beal is returning. I don't think Kuzma is returning. I also have no idea whether that's true or not. Take it for what it is. I don't think they're playing. But that is guesswork. Porzingis played 34 minutes. I think KP is going to play probably the rest of this week. Maybe he stops next week.
Porzingis.
32, 13, and 6, a steal and a block. I'm pretty confident that Porzingis, who's the 4th-ranked player over the last week, some of him playing at the moment is just like, bro, like I can play. Like I can play through a season. Everyone talks about how I'm never going to play. I think there's some of it like, hey, I'm just let me keep going. And they're like, cool, do it. Well, Avdija actually is exploding. This is really risky for inflated stock for next season. 37 minutes, 25, 10, and 5, 2 threes. Remember who is out here and how much he completely disappears when other guys are in. But he's dominating at the moment. Top 50 over the last week, and we absolutely roll with that. We've seen it all season. Beal needs to be out for Avdija to play well. It's been a pretty constant theme. Johnny Davis, 23 minutes for him, 7-8. He is a good rebounding guard for sure, and I think there are going to be chances here for him to play 25 a night, which is useful for, say, 14, but probably more 16-team leagues. Well, Kendrick Nunn stinks, 12 points in 17 minutes. Goodwin had 2 in 11, and Taj Gibson played 12 minutes. So Kispert, the other interesting guy here, 15 points with 3 triples for Corey. He's a nice 3-point streamer. On to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They were without Jared Allen. They were without Isaac Okoro, and they played a really tight rotation as well. They played just 9 guys in total, and they took it up to the Atlanta Hawks. They lose 121-118. They played a tight rotation. They also played 4 players over 40 minutes, which you don't see that often. Don Mitchell, 44, 5-5, and 2 steals. Just insane usage. 42% usage for Mitchell. Seemed to hurt his ankle at one point, so let's watch that one. While Garland had 27, 2-5 on 22 shot attempts. Both the guys really, really good. But how about the koala? Eucalyptus Ev. Evan Mobley, 20, 15-6, 1 steal, 4 blocks, 77% shooting. Missed both his free throws, but despite going over 2 from the line, over the last week, Evan Mobley, I'm sorry, hold on to your gum nuts, because Evan Mobley is the 8th-ranked player over the last week. We wondered, like, how would he take his game to the next level with Mitchell joining the fray usage-wise, and it didn't really happen. And now he is flying, absolutely dominating. This is a, probably not going to draft him, but this is a real top 20 upside player for next season. He is just doing amazing stuff. Like he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I think he's going to be a real star in the league. Lamar Stevens started for Jared Allen and had 4 points. That's sick. While Dracarys Levert started for Isaac Okoro.
Dracarys.
And had 9, 4, and 3. We knew Levert was on this little hot streak. We said, look, there's no way. Look, it just isn't going to stick. He's not going to keep going at double his season-long steal rate or shooting the lights out. And he had 9 usage. It is the value in him, the safe value in him is when one of Garland or Mitchell is out, because then he gets to have the ball in his hands. Basically, he played the Isaac Okoro role. And that's not useful enough as a must roster scenario. It just isn't. The Discman City Arsman had 3 points in 12, while Mamadi Diakite had 2 points in 13 minutes. Yeah, didn't expect he would be getting minutes, but there we are. For the Hawks, low-minute legend Onyeka Okongwu did it again. 20 minutes, but he had 21-9 with 3 blocks and somehow made 11 free throws, took 12 of them in 20 minutes. That's an insane free throw rate. He continues to play only 20 minutes a night. Do they ever just turn over the job to him? Maybe that's next season. I don't know. But he is doing some stuff at the moment where he was pushing up to 25 minutes a night. Okay, that's great. And now back to 19, but he's doing so much better playing 19 a night. I don't know how it's possible. That's just a huge game. Clint Capella was still all right playing 27 minutes.
Dental plan.
Lisa needs braces.
12 and 10. While it was a poor night from Trae Young, he still had 10 assists and 16 points, but 27% shooting and going 6 of 9 from the line, it sucks. We got big minutes from DeAndre Hunter, and usually we love that. We didn't love it here. 7 and 6 on 25% shooting. He's just a terrible category league player. And Bogdanović played 22 minutes for 12 points. Now, they are not must-roster players. There is 2 more games left for the Hawks this week, and they're just not good enough to hold. Sadiq Bey double-doubled, 11 and 10, but only 21 minutes. I don't think he's necessarily a hold. Well, Johnny Collins had 12 and 7 with 3 threes, which is all right. But again, 2 more games, high-volume days. Is it even worth it? Probably not. Probably not. DeJounte had a really good game. 29, 4 and 5 with 2 steals for him. 50% shooting, 80% from the line, while Vic Krejci replaced the AJ Griffin minutes. Not sure about that, Quinn, as Obi doesn't agree with Vic Krejci playing over AJ Griffin either, which is totally his prerogative to do so. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The tournament is getting to its conclusion, the peak of the pyramid, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. It's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. And you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads and even the overall tournament winner. Which, if you're looking for the underdog, it's the Owls. Florida Atlantic are +550 on FanDuel to win the complete tournament. Whereas in the women's side of things, Virginia Tech are a +900 underdog with Iowa, LSU, and South Carolina all favored ahead of them. If you want to bet on the underdog, you can do that over at FanDuel on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, and don't forget to gamble responsibly. The third game of the day, the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors win at 106-92 is the final score here. There was no Jim Butler. I expect that he plays tomorrow, while Kyle Lowry will sit tomorrow. They started Victor Oladipo sort of out of nowhere. Oladipo had been playing literally 0 minutes, and he started and was shocking. 7 points, 29% shooting, 23 minutes. Even with Lowry out tomorrow, I don't actually care for having Oladipo on my team. While Max Strus had been playing 30-plus minutes, and they dropped him down to 27, and he stunk as well. Only took 3 shots, and I don't know why they didn't start him. 3 points. If you had Strus on your roster, you probably hold him for tomorrow with Lowry up, but man, that stinks. Hero was pretty good, 33, 3, and 6, while Adebayo had 21 and 12 with 4 assists. Good games from both of those guys trying to carry with Butler out. As for Kyle Lowry,
double cheeked up on a Thursday afternoon.
Only 6 points for him, 5 assists, 2 steals. If you've got him, you can jack him.
Get that garbage out of here!
Obviously, the same thing applies to Kevin Love, who played 20 minutes, 3 and 5 with a steal and a block, and Caleb Martin had 7 and 5 in a steal and a block. Both these guys are not 12-team league players. You can hold, look, having them today with so few games on makes a little bit of sense, but otherwise, no, we just don't care about that much. For the Raptors, Gaz Trent was out, Will Barton was out. So we got big Precious Achiuwa minutes? What? 25 minutes for Precious, 12 and 9, 2 threes, a steal and a block, and while you are not quite in RJ Barrett territory here, Big Sneeze, but I need to see this a lot more before I believe that you're a good player. Or more to the point, or actually tied into the point that you're a good fantasy player. Not a bad game from Precious. Definitely not great, but not bad. But I'm not adding. As for Boucher, he played 28 minutes and had 8 points on 33%. That stinks. He did have 2 blocks. The opportunity was there for him with Trent out. But as soon as Trent returns, there's no interest for me in Boucher. Like, I could hold, but I'm not that keen on it. 41 minutes for Scotland Barnes. 22, 7 and 12 with 3 steals. Great game overall. Siakam had 26 and 9. Ananobi, 39 minutes. Man, OG is playing really, really well at the moment.
But what about Scarves?
OG, stop OG. You better stop OG.
22, 3, and 5. Well, Van Vliet struggled for 12 points on 13 shots, but he did have 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Rough night from Poeltl, which helped Precious. He played only 23 minutes and had 2 points on with 10 rebounds, but he had 4 fouls, so some of his playing time was reduced, so that enabled Precious to do more. Another reason why I'm not falling for the Precious Achiuwa bait and switch that we get so often from him. The Memphis Grizzlies just get over the line against your Orlando Magic. Magic staging a little late fight back. Bol Bol once again out of the rotation. How about Goga Badadze? What? This does deserve the dart to get his sound drop played.
Problem with my Gogo Mobile. Gogo Mobile.
No, not the dart. Not the dart.
Yeah, not the dart. Well, maybe it is the dart. 13 and 6, a steal, 3 blocks, 71% shooting. And he was a crazy plus 10. It was basically him and Admiral Schofield with his big plus minuses. Huge from him. And he got the minutes over Mo Wagner, who played only 6 minutes. Now, I don't trust that every single game. But, man, Goga will occasionally have these games where you go, oh, maybe, maybe. And then he lets you down. But that was great. Franz Wagner was also great. 25, 3 and 3, 5 threes, 2 steals and a block. Didn't shoot well. But he had a really big dip. Maybe three weeks ago. He's flying now, top 40 over the last week. While Wendell had 14 and 7 and a couple of blocks. And Paolo, great from the field. 24, 11 and 5, 3 threes, 50%. Unfortunately, 3 of 6 from the line, which hurts. He probably is a hold the rest of the week. But someone like a Markel Fultz, despite being really good this season, 11, 1 and 5, 2 steals, not a game until Friday. I don't know that you need to. While Jalen Suggs, you'll be shocked to know this, after he scored 16 points last game, guess what he did here? 2 points on 10% shooting. Yeah, that is why we don't rush to add someone like Jalen Suggs. Cole Anthony continues to play pretty well. 10, 5 and 5 with 2 steals, but again, with no games the next 2 nights and then 13 games the next day that he plays, not really sure that that's what we want to hold on to. Gaz Harris had 3 points in 26 as well. For the Grizzlies, no Ja Morant. He will return tomorrow. Tyus Jones played 34 minutes. He had 7, 6, and 8 with 2 steals. Just didn't shoot very well, but everything else is pretty strong there. While Desi Bane had 31, 4, and 5, and 3 steals. And the Duck, Luke Kennard, 16, 5, and 5, 4 threes. That's just a huge game. 75% shooting, top 30 over the last week. Just an absolutely career heater that he is on. Sure, you can stream him tomorrow. I still don't really have the faith that it's going to stick, but he's playing well. Dylan Brooksy Brooks had 13 points on 14 shots. Of course. Of course he did. The world. Jaren Jackson fouled out 16 and 10 with 3 blocks. But what about the cashier, Xavier T. Illman? 35 minutes, 20 and 9 with a steal. I've given up trying to figure out what his minutes are going to be. It doesn't matter what the opponent is. You can't go big versus small or anything like that. Just some nights Taylor Jenkins plays in big minutes. Some nights he doesn't. So I guess we try it again tomorrow. Hopefully, if you did add him, you added him before today and you get today's game and then you get tomorrow's. But he could play 20 minutes tomorrow and Jackson plays 35 and Aldama plays 28 and David Roddy Piper jumps in. I don't know. It's all over the shop in terms of trying to be able to predict those rotations for the cashier. Again, we thought we were getting something consistent, but alas, we were not. The next game, the Charlotte Hornets. This is not an overtime game. The Charlotte Hornets beat the Thunder 137-134. The Hornets are up big. The Thunder came back. Really bad loss for the Thunder. They needed to get this done. Well, the Hornets continue to, despite everyone being out, play so much better. There was no Kelly Oubre. There was no Terry Rozier. There was no Gordon Hayward. And then the game was slated to start at 8 p.m. And then at 8 p.m., we got the note, oh, by the way, guys, Dennis Smith's actually out. Toe irritation. Like, these were very, very bad curse words. Have done this shit all season with horrible, horrible, inaccurate, misleading injury reports. Surely, did Dennis Smith hurt his toe in warm-up? I've heard nothing to suggest that's the case. Cody Martin has played 7 games this season. 7. The last time he played was January 14th. Do you think we've had any update on him at all? No. We are 2 months since he played a game. He's played 7 games all season, and all we got was Cody Martin will have knee surgery, which was back in November after he was doubtful for 10 games in a row to start the year. Absolutely horrific injury reporting. And again, I don't know what this means for Smith. Is Haywood, Rozier, Oubre, are they returning this season? Is Smith coming back? I think he probably will, but I do not know. I would feel okay about dropping Haywood and Rozier and Oubre, but they could just pop up next game and throw in the rotating center nonsense. Hey, but who am I to want to? They won. This sort of throws all this bullshit up in the air even further. I don't know what to expect from this team. They started Big Dick Nick. He had 14 and 11. The guess is that next game he goes back to being the reserve center. Mark Williams starts and Kai Jones is out of the rotation. But do you remember about 3 weeks ago, right? There's going to be a point here where we talk about Kai Jones having 12 team value. This might be it. 12 and 14 for Kai in 22 minutes on 100% shooting. Now, you don't add him. He's not going to play their next game mostly. He's not going to play their next game. He's going to be out of the rotation. Then he comes back to be the backup on Sunday. But bloody, like, again, the confusion is there. Let's talk about some good things then. Maybe this isn't that good. Bryce McGowan started for Haywood. 11 points, 2 steals, 3 threes. Not a bad game. He's at least in the deeper league radar. But the guys we do need to watch here are Svi Mihailuk, 37 minutes, 18, 5 and 8, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 2 triples. Now, you love that game. That's great. Go back and look at him from one game ago where he had 7 points on 7 shots. But I did say in that game, if it wasn't for the bad shooting, everything else looked okay. So he's not a horrific ad. I've actually got him in a 12-team league. I don't know if I had the balls to start him today. I hope I did. I'll have to go check that. But he's worth it for now while the Salt Flake. We're back. Phil Maledon. 39 minutes, 19, 4, and 9 with 4 blocks. Imagine just chucking Teo Maledon into your lineup and then your random point guard just gets 4 blocks. And then the most random of the most random, PJ Washington Jr.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Imagine this bloke who started all season, not a top 100 player, goes out, drops 43, 6 and 5 on you with 5 triples on 67% shooting. He's likely to go 1 of 11 next game for 4 points with 2 rebounds. This is what he does. Unbelievable numbers, ridiculously good numbers, but I don't know what to make of this team. I think Mihailuk's an ad. I think that Richards and Jones can be streamers, as is Williams back for next game. Williams will probably start for you on Friday with 13 games on. I think their next game's Friday, isn't it? He'll probably start for you in that game. So if you wanted to add him, by all means, you would start him Friday, Sunday. But what do we know that's going to happen with Oubre, Rozier, and Haywood? I've got no idea. I don't know whether they're going to play, and that's obviously going to impact Mihailuk and Maledon. Even JT Thor played 36 minutes, had 14, 6, and 4. That's 12-team worthy. But is McGowan's or Thor or Maledon, would you even start on Friday or Sunday? Probably not. So I don't think I would go and add them because I just don't think that you would even use them on those days. And there is no certainty around those 4 blokes who are out. One thing I do know is that Mark Williams will come back in and Kai Jones will go out next game. That's what will happen. For the Thunder, Shea was out with that ankle sprain. I think he might come back tomorrow. And it wasn't because the Bronco played poorly that they lost this game, because he was awesome again.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah, let's ride. 31, 3, and 4 with 4 steals on 69% shooting.
Giggity.
Giddy had 31, 9, and 10 on 64% shooting. Isaiah Joe started for Shea, played 32 minutes. Now, I remember multiple people in the pregame show today asked me, hey, do you go with Joe or Struce? And I think I did, but I hope I told you to go with Isaiah Joe. I really hope I did. 33.6 triples. I remember someone left a comment saying, man, Isaiah, after those 2 back-to-backs last week, man, this guy's the worst pickup ever. How dare you guys rate him this highly? He's going to play in China next season. And then his next 2 games have been unbelievable. So I would hold Joe for tomorrow. He's going to play his 25 minutes a night, and he's going to go off at times. Not always, but he's been an unbelievably useful player all season for the Thunder. For fantasy, he's had little bits and pieces of moments. Midwest, Dylan Brooks. Lou Dort, he had 33 minutes, 16 and 7. One of his better games, actually shot 40%. We know he's very hard to trust in category leagues. Well, Poku was back. 10 minutes for Poku and had 2 blocks. Missed both of his shots. We're not adding him outside of like 18 team leagues. With him back though, Pig Williams played only 18 minutes and had 3, 6 and 4. So he's obviously just looking to be like a deeper league player at the moment. All right, let's do the final game of the night. The Pelicans get beaten by the Warriors. The Pelicans were on a pretty strong run of wins. I think 5 in a row. The Warriors just took them apart in the second half in particular. Zion's still out. Maybe there's a return for the final 2-3 games next week. Doubt it. Alvarado's probably done for the season. Trey Murphy, 38 minutes. He's been on a massive streak. Top 40 player over the last week. 21 points, 4 threes, 1 steal, 2 blocks. It feels insane that they benched him for Josh Richardson. Is that going to cost them like those couple of games? I don't know. That was crazy. Ingram, 26, 8, and 7, and McCollum did not play particularly well. 15, 1, and 3, but he took 17 shots and didn't get a single free throw. He's been sort of up and down with that quite a bit. We finally got a good game out of Herb Jones, 13, 6, and 4, 2 steals, 3 threes. This is why the volume is important. Yes, his other games haven't been great. Like yesterday wasn't particularly good. But all it takes is one game like this, plus three other mediocre games, and the four quality games from him this week makes it worth it. And the same thing we can say about Josh Richardson, who played 21 minutes, 7-2-2, not a great game. One block, 1-3, not good. All he needs is a game where he goes 14-5-2, two steals, two blocks, and then that's it. The volume just has made up for it. That's why we roster him. We also had the situation where Jonas Valanciunas has been playing unbelievably.
Jonas Valanciunas.
And then he got Warriors. Minus 20, 22 minutes, 11, 9, and 5. That's not a terrible game. But that run of big minutes in terms of 30-plus as a starter was cooked. They went more to Larry Nance. He had 8-6-2 with a steal, 25 minutes. Now, Nance might play 15 minutes the next two nights, but again, that one little spike is enough to get that volume in. Stinking game from Najee Marshall, 6-3-3. But 6-3-3 across four games does add up. And you just hope that there's one game that pops in there. The value, it's in the volume. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Not much else going on with that team, I don't think. For the Warriors, Steph was amazing. 39, 8 and 8, 3 steals, 8 triples, unbelievable shooting, including this ridiculous pass to Klay Thompson at the end of the game. Now, prior to this game, he hadn't been playing that well. 55th over the last week, but this was an awesome game. Draymond, 8, 6 and 12 was strong. And Jordan Poole's also on a really hot stretch. 21, 5 and 2, 2 steals and a block. They made a change and put John Kuminga in the starting lineup over Kevon Looney. Kuminga actually played 31 minutes after going under 20 the last couple. 13 and 4 and 100% shooting. That's really, really strong. But the problem I have here with both him and Looney, who had 3 and 8 in 22 minutes, is the Warriors now don't play until Friday. They play Friday, Sunday, 13 games each. It's not worth holding through Wednesday and Thursday when you probably wouldn't start them on a full day Friday, Sunday anyway. So if you do have Kuminga, if you do have Kevon Looney, you probably jack him.
Get that garbage out of here!
You do the same with DiVincenzo, who had 13, 7 and 2 in 23 minutes. Klay Thompson struggled with his shot, 17 points, 5 threes, 2 steals, a block, 38% shooting. He's a guy that you will start on Friday and Sunday, but those fringe guys, DiVincenzo, Kuminga, Looney, while they are useful to stream today, absolutely. After today, we try and get some other guys in Wednesday, if possible, Thursday, definitely, Saturday, definitely. Using that roster spot versus guys who sit on your bench on Friday, Sunday, and right away, and you're not actually giving up high upside for even next week if your season still goes, I think that's got to be the correct move. The lines of the night. Your monstrous does go to the big fella in Golden State, Steph Curry. He was amazing. Your waiver wire line of the night, this is how we know we're in the shit part of the season, the weird part, Teo Maledon. Waiver wire line of the night. Your young gun is Scott Barnes and your dud is Caris LeVert. Your top 10 players in category leagues today, number one was Steph, followed by Porzingis, PJ Washington Jr., Donovan Mitchell, Scotland Barnes, Evan Mobley, Jalen Williams. Look at that, three young guns in a row there. Barnes, Mobley, Williams. Eucalyptus Ev there, the koala. Evan Mobley at 6, Jalen Williams 7, Jason Tatum 8, Onyeka Okongwu at 9. Wow. Tyler Hero at 10. Your top 10 players rostered in under 50% of leagues. Number one is the Salt Flake, Theo Maledon. If Dennis Smith and Rozier remain out, yeah, we add him. But we don't know that, and they don't play until Friday, Sunday. So very, very tough to make that preemptive add now. Monte Morris, there's a little bit of value in him with the absence or likely absence of Beal and Kuzma. Mihailuk, yeah, look, great game today. And I actually went and checked. I did start him today. So, you know what? W for me. Good. His value is really tied to Oubre and Rozier and Hayward being out. And again, is it worth it to have on a Friday, Sunday? Probably not. Like, today was the day to try it. And I don't know if it's going to last. Goga was amazing, but there's a little bit of flukiness there. I wouldn't react too much. Isaiah Joe, yeah, he's absolutely worth a stream, even if it's for tomorrow for some points and threes. Precious, absolutely not. Kai Jones probably isn't in the rotation. Well, yeah, that's the pattern. He's out of the rotation next game, so we don't add him. Santi Aldama was okay, but I don't care that much. And then there is the god of hammers, JT Thor.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
And much like with Maledon or with Evan Jones, they don't play until Friday, Sunday. We love what we saw, and there might be 30-plus minutes for him a night coming. I wouldn't start him on Friday or Sunday almost definitely, so he's not worth a pickup. And then Johnny Kuminga, we've just talked about him. Your top 10 players in points leagues today, number one was Steph, followed by Porzingis, The Koala, Eucalyptus Ev, Evan Mobley, Don Mitchell, PJ Washington, Scott Barnes, Josh Giddey, Jalen Williams, Fima Hailuke, and DeJounte Murray. And guys, that'll do it for me today. Don't forget to follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on the Odyssey app and on YouTube. You thumb it up and you leave those comments down below. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.